Welcome to the Listen Bitch podcast, your go-to destination for unlocking your full potential and embracing the extraordinary possibilities within you. This is a journey of self-discovery and empowerment as you explore the transformative power of stepping into greatness. Come into alignment with your God-given power and gifts, unleash your soul, and learn to co-create a life you love. As you become the writer of your own story, in this podcast, you're going to find the inspiration, practical tips, and the sometimes abrasive nudge to take the leap of faith towards your dreams. You are in the right place. Buckle up so we can unleash your inner badass. You guys, this is so crazy. Y'all, I did an episode with Josh last week, or it's been like 2 weeks ago, and I didn't have anybody for the Thursday slot. Okay. I ran out of interviews. I've run out of time. I've just been like chasing my tail lately. Okay. And I did a podcast yesterday, which is so funny. I told you guys about the weight loss journey I started just with a new product, a new little tool, and my experience with that. And we're not going to talk about that today because, ironically enough, I'm bringing Justin Willoughby to you guys. And Josh just introduced me to him yesterday. I believe we chatted and I got him booked right now to record this. So you guys have an episode today. But Justin is a food addiction coach, a weight loss coach. He has a couple of books out, which I'm excited to talk about those. He's got One Step and Made in His Image. And I'm telling you guys, like, I think I'm looking at before and after picture. Is this before and after picture on your wall of you? I'm just like, this is not the same person. And I didn't want to say anything this whole time because, like, you know, we introduced ourselves. I kind of told him how this is going to go down. I keep looking at this picture and I'm like, there's no way that this is the same guy. So you guys, please, please, I'm excited for you to tune in today and give Justin all the love, all the reviews, all the comments. And hi, Justin, why don't you do your introduction here?
Yeah, Brandon, thank you so much for having me on. This is exciting. All about talking about health and wellness, just helping people get healthier in general and showing people there's hope to get to a really good place in their health. When
right.
So many people are like, where do I start? Or I feel defeated, or I'm in a prison to my body, because mm-hmm. that's what everything I was feeling. And now I'm at a place in my life where I've left that prison. I've become healthier and I'm a new person. So here I am to present who I am. And hopefully somebody finds something great and inspiring out of it.
I love that. We're going to get into, I have so many questions already, like out the gate. Cause I, you know, I'm scrolling on TikTok last night and I see this woman sitting down and I mean, she's huge and she's eating and she's telling people, go ahead and come at me. Cause I can't stop. I'm a binge eater. I can't stop. This is what I do. And so like, she's live. Okay. There are thousands of people just watching her. And I think like, what is that one thing that she's missing? What is that one thing that's going to push her to take that one step, right? So I want to talk about this book. I want to talk about like, I mean, I've been working with women for years. I know there's always something that keeps us trapped in that prison. You are protecting yourself from something on the outside.
Hmm. Yeah.
What was that for you?
I think, man, I don't know. I had some issues with food addiction. I'm trying to think back how long that started. Really, it started when I was a young person, when I was in my teenage years, you know? And so I remember those days. And I think back and like, it gets a little emotional, right?
Yeah.
Man. I was just addicted.
Yeah.
I would go to food for everything. When I was happy, it would be mm-hmm. a reward. When I was sad, it would comfort me. When I mm-hmm. had anxiety, it would be the comfort I wanted. Depression, right? And so on and so forth. My parents had a really rough marriage at one point. They're happy-go-lucky now.
Yeah.
You should see them today. They're like best friends.
That's amazing.
But they had a really rough patch, a really big rough yeah. patch in their lives. And I remember like when they went into that, and I would try to be that mediator between the two,
mm-hmm.
you know, and this is when I was probably, goodness, 10 to 12 years old, 10 to 13 years old.
A little guy.
I would, yeah. And so I would be the mediator. I would go to my mom and I would say, no, mom, dad's not mad at you. Dad, no, dad, mom's not mad. You know, I would be that mediator. And I think it took a big toll on me, like in my stress levels. And I just didn't want to miss, I didn't want to see my parents like split up, right? Well, I think eventually that caught up with me to find a comfort source. And that comfort source was food. And so I would go to, like I said, I would go to it for everything, right? Anxiety, happiness, sadness, whatever. And I think that was the cover up at, I mean, that's how it all started. I remember just eating a whole bag of apples in one sitting. I mean, it's healthy food, right? But I would just go and I wasn't even hungry, Brandon. I wasn't even hungry. So I just kind of look back and evaluate my life. And is there a rhyme or reason? I don't know. I would assume that was part of it because I could trace it back a little bit that far. But ultimately, it led me to a very bad and dark place in my life to where I would just overconsume food, feel really, really depressed, feel anxious. And so, what do you do when you're feeling depressed and anxious?
Eat.
I need more food, right? And so, I would go get more food. And then from that point, just went on a downward spiral or an upward spiral.
Right.
I started gaining a bunch of weight, and it was just an insane journey.
There, what was your family eating habits? Like, were they, are they average size? Like, are, is it, is food like a family thing, you know? 'Cause I see these families, I see parents, I see how they feed their kids, and I'm like, whoa, whoa, whoa. Like, we want to break the cycle, you
Yeah.
know?
Their eating habits were, so I didn't grow up with good eating habits at all. We had some, I mean, and my parents, my mom worked, my dad was on like disability because he hurt his back at work. So he's a stay-at-home dad. My mom worked a full-time job and he would always kind of cook the food. Well, we wouldn't have anything very, very healthy. I mean, the healthiest thing we had was a side salad, right? But a lot of times it was whatever was cheap. Like, so you had your hot dogs, you had your sausages, you had, I mean, it wasn't really like your chicken and salads and, you know, and healthy things along with that. So a lot of times it was like burgers from like McDonald's, fast food stuff. I mean, we just would eat and eat that stuff. Today, my parents have trimmed it up a lot, you know, and it showed. Our eating habits showed that we weren't the healthiest because of our body images. My dad has a little belly on him. My mom's bigger. My brother, who passed away last year from obesity, actually, yeah, he was about 400 plus pounds. And so, as you can see, the habits weren't that good. I escaped that in my life and tried to bring them with me. It has turned around for them a little bit more. But you know, it's probably not to the best place yet. But yeah, they weren't good. They weren't good.
Well, I think that's super inspiring that in, I mean, a lot of people, when they choose to make a change in their life and the family's not on board, it kind of holds them back. Like, there's a little bit of that guilt for you getting healthy and your brother not getting healthy, and you're watching this,
Yeah.
you know, and there's that, like, well, you can't just stay stuck because he doesn't want to move, right? Like, I love that you were empowered to just keep going.
Yeah. I'm gonna tell you what though, in the process of the empowerment of to get going, I remember the days where I tried to change my eating habits and my parents were having a different way of eating. Like they were stuck in the old way. I was trying to have the new way. So my way was like, all right, I'm eating some healthy proteins. I'm gonna get myself some, you know, vegetables and fruits and some grains here and there. But like just a normal like whole food approach, right? And they were stuck in the ice cream. They were stuck in the ramen noodles still. They were stuck in like the white breads and things. And I remember having fits. I would literally would be like, you guys don't love me. You know, I was 16, 17. You're like, you hate me. You can't even eat what I'm eating. You know, I was all upset about it. And it hurt them too when I said that stuff. But and they eventually started to clean, hey, Justin, we're not gonna eat that stuff around you. And they eventually jumped on board for a season, which was awesome. They were very supportive afterwards after I informed them how I was feeling about it. I didn't approach it in the best way though.
Man, I know. So for myself, after baby number five, I was in a huge depression and I got huge. And there was a point in my marriage where my husband was like, listen, you have got to start losing weight. And it was like a fact of like, I care about you and I want you to be here. It wasn't about the vain, like, you know, you look terrible. It's like he could tell I was miserable in my own skin. Like, you know, it was really uncomfortable, but that was a tough conversation to have. And I know that there was, you know, the truth hurts, right? It took a second, but definitely it moved me, and it's changed just having someone care about you enough to know, like, it's not even just about the physical look, right? It is right. Genuinely like your heart is working so much harder, you know, and we take our bodies for granted every day. We take everything that God has created our bodies to do, the breathing, the sleeping, the blinking, the heart beating, like your entire nervous system. I don't think anybody has really sat with themselves to realize how complex their bodies are. And that's where, you know, I learned to get away from like society's image. And I always tell people I'm not a size zero. Like I'm super strong right now. I could probably kick someone's ass. Like I'm doing the things and I feel really good. I'm not a size zero, but I feel really good. And every day that I sit with my body, I'm coming from a place of love. So I'm not hating my body, because like it should be a size zero. Okay. Yeah. I should be so cut right now. I don't hate my body. I'm like every day this gratitude, you know, I've had 60 sections. You know, I've got the mom pouch, I've got the stretch marks, and these women especially struggle with that and come from a place of hating themselves. Mm-hmm. Like they hate themselves so much. And I promise you will never make a change in your body when you come from hate. Like you learn to love and respect it from the inside out, because it is a machine. Like what a miracle, just our bodies alone.
Yeah. It's, you know, when I was younger, the perspective of my body was so different than it is today. Yeah. Right. When we're younger, I don't think we recognize. I mean, when we're younger, when we think about our health and fitness journey or just our bodies in general, we're like, let's get strong. Let's just do what we want to do. Let's drink. Let's do this. Let's take drugs. Let's, you know, we don't think, or what moves we do with our body. We put it through torture, pull all nighters, things like that. Right. Right. And you kind of read on the science behind some of the quote unquote stupid things we've done, and how it impacts our general health. And what you were saying, our bodies are so complex and unique, and such an amazing design behind them, that when we put certain foods in our mouths, our cells respond accordingly to that. Our system responds accordingly to that. Our gut health, I mean, just responses from food itself, responses from exercise, responses from what you put in your in beverages and drink, like all this stuff adds up together. And we think I look at our nation and I see what we're eating. And I used to be there. I'm coming. I mean, I'm speaking from experience, right?
Yeah.
You probably speak from experience, right?
I do. Like
we've been there. And then we remember I used to do that. And now I don't, or if I do, it's just rarely.
Right.
And I'm glad I don't live like that anymore, because I felt like trash. And now I feel so much better. I'm more confident, more, my brain fog has been lifted. My body responds differently. I have more energy. I mean, it's not, like you said, not just about the scale numbers or the size of your body, but it's about what you're doing for your health in general. And I don't think enough people put enough emphasis on what you do today will impact your tomorrow.
Tomorrow, every little thing. And I think that's something, because we are every once in a while people, like we go to B-dubs, we have the cocktails and the buffalo wings, right? Yeah. And what happens every time? The next day, some of my magic's gone and I'm like, I don't like, you know, it's not a full-time thing. We can't do that. The crumble cookies once every 6 months end up on my counter. And I'm just
evil.
Like,
it's
yes,
evil.
It's terrible, because I just don't feel good. And I know I am a sugar addict. Like that I'm a sugar addict, and it's something that if I'm not drinking alcohol, which I had a drinking problem, so we're pretty off the sauce. Okay. Once every few months we do something, but it's fine. And I feel like the minute I'm not drinking alcohol, I'm eating sugar. Like it's one or the other in my life. And they're both, I mean, sugar is literally a drug to your body. Your body reacts to it like a drug. So sometimes I would go, every once in a while, I'm like, all right, I'm cutting out sugar, because I could feel it. I'm moody, I'm cranky, I'm snappy. Like it is affecting me. So I do like just cut it out and stuff. And my kids are like, Mom, this is really unhealthy. And I'm like, no, baby, I don't feel good when I'm eating all the sugar. You know, like it is genuinely about how I feel. It's not like I think I'm going to get fat if I eat the crumble cookie. You know, it's not about that. You know, my daughter and I were looking at cookies in the grocery aisle yesterday. I'm just like, no, I just don't feel good. I don't want to grab them. It doesn't, I'm in this moment of like, I run pretty clean, you know, pretty clean. And I had these moments in my day where I just feel euphoric. And that's what I used to try to chase with food, with alcohol, with everything else. And if people could just get to the core of loving and appreciating their bodies and doing what's best for them in the purest form, you get that euphoria and you get addicted to it.
I love that. And I love what you said when you look at this cookie or food and you're like, I remember what it did to my body. Like, you're not like, it's not about, I'm going to gain a pound. Like, who cares? That comes off tomorrow. Right.
Right.
But it's about how you felt when you consumed that. I don't know about you, but have you, when you go without eating that stuff for a long time, and then you put it back in your body again for a small season.
Terrible.
How do you feel?
It's terrible. I have no motivation. I just don't feel good. And, you know, I'm at the point where I don't beat myself up anymore. Like you know, when we do a wings night, which is very rare, I don't beat myself up. I'm like, well, you made the choice. So, you know, tomorrow you're not going to have your magic and we're just going to work extra hard to build that back up. And it's out of love. It's just, you know, it's not something I could do all the time. No way. Yeah.
It's a treat, and you treat it, and that's what it should be, right? It should be that treat. It should be things. I mean, no longer do I look at food as a reward system. Like, if I did good that week, I'm like, hey, I lost 20 pounds. All right, so I'm gonna go eat that. You know, that's not what it is anymore. It's a, I can do this once in a while. I can be fine. It's kind of just, it's there, right? You know, I look into something called food freedom. I teach that a lot, because food freedom is, you can actually go into a room with that crumble cookie. You can go in that room with that piece of cake or brownie, or even let's go to other savory items, right? Maybe you like some savory items too, and everybody's different. But too much
nachos,
of those items,
tacos, chips, and salsa. I mean, there is
The
list goes on.
I love it. No, I love that. And people, food freedom is when you can walk in that room. And pizza, oh my gosh, let's get started, right? It's like you walk in that room and you see all this on a tray, on a table, on a in like a charcuterie board or whatever you got, right? And it's like, you can walk in there and say, oh, cool. Let me just grab one of this and one of that and walk away. That's food freedom. That's where I'm at today. I used to be the guy that would walk in there and be like scoping it out. Somebody's talking to me on the side here. And I'm like, yeah, time out. I'm looking over here. You know, I'm like, I'm mustering up what I can go eat.
It's
and not
that
paying
food
attention.
Noise.
Yeah.
Right.
Oh,
like
yeah,
the food noise is just like all day. Like my biggest thing was if we went to a hotel and they had breakfast, I had to eat everything and it was terrible breakfast. It wasn't even good. Right. Yeah. Like, and it's the same thing with the buffet. You have to try everything. But at the end of the day, I think a lot of the issues we have is that we label foods good and bad, and they're not good or bad. And that's something I'm trying to break the habit with my husband, with the kids. You know, I'm like, let's not put my toxic eating habits into their lives.
Yeah.
So I tell the babies, it's not good or bad. It's just how it makes you feel, you know? Yeah. So I'm very, conscious about like red food dye, and I see the difference it makes in the kids. So Cheetos and Doritos, very rare, very rare. I let them have them because I think taking all that stuff out is moderation. It's teaching them that it's good or bad, right?
Sure.
So it's just limited where it is like a random treat, you know, and there's trade-offs, you know, they kids don't know outside of what they're taught. And us struggling with that good food, bad food, that's going to be how you kick your ass into a cycle of like self-destruction. Because I promise you're going to keep reaching for the bad food and then you're going to feel bad. Like, you know, like Justin was saying, you get depressed and then what are you going to go for? It's that dopamine hit. And we get that on, you know, we get that from food.
You know, and as you're speaking about that, I just wanted to recognize too, these food companies aren't stupid. Let's be honest.
Oh.
There's a science, right? There's a science that goes into this. Do you have a soapbox for this?
My audience just rolled their eyes and they're like, Brandon, bite your tongue. Because I mean, big pharma and the food companies, it all comes down to money. And there's money in sickness. There's money in depression. Mm-hmm. There's money in everything that they have created in this food. And people are like, I can't eat healthy. It's too expensive. That's bullshit. Mm. I know what's in my cart. And You know, I watch carts. Okay. I watch carts and I see them lined with Mountain Dew packs all on the mm-hmm. outer corners. We've mm-hmm. got a bunch of frozen food in the middle. We've got chips. We've got all these yep. things. I could fill two carts for what they can do with their junk food. We don't compare a bag of Doritos for a pack yep. of chicken thighs. You know what yep. I'm saying? So yep. the excuse is bullshit. Like, we don't buy that anymore. So if in your head you're like, I can't afford to eat healthy, girl, I'm like pretty yep. much carnivore and we've got 8 people in this house and we're doing yep. just fine. Okay.
You can like, do
we're doing just fine.
You can do so well with, I mean, when I was doing carnivore for a couple months, it was after COVID started. And I was trying in the midst of that, I was trying carnivore and I tried it for about 3 months. I lost a couple of pounds. I didn't really follow it 100% like I yeah, should have.
That's
but
me.
that being said, I found ways to, like you are, found ways to go shop and mm-hmm. say, all right, you know, you go early in the morning to the store, you buy the yep. markdown meats, right? Or you, whatever's on sale that week, you go mm-hmm. for that first. I mean, you can do it. You can do things in a strategic way
yep.
and go from store to store and see, hey, Walmart sells it for this. This place sells it for this, right? And you can yep. kind of just differentiate between that. There's really no reason. And the other thing is too, I get off so many.
No, I, that's my brain. That's why I take notes, man.
Yeah, it's so good. Like, you know, if you think about it, when you eat more nutritious foods, whole foods, what mm-hmm. happens? Your body's more satisfied. Satiation yep. begins to happen, right? You're like, wow, I can just eat a potato. Just an example, a potato and a protein and a vegetable. And I feel pretty satisfied with that mm-hmm. versus if I'm going to go out and have a bag of chips and Doritos and a brownie and I'll just throw in a soda with that.
Exactly.
You're hungry like an hour later.
Yeah.
Right. So yep. you're paying all the money for that, mm-hmm. but you're not satisfied with that.
Yep.
And so you think, yeah, that's cheaper on the front end mm-hmm. versus this, but yet it doesn't leave me as satisfied. What blows my mind is I remember looking at apples versus candy bars and how when I was younger and I was like, kind of managing my own money as a teenager, right? And just mm-hmm. be like, all right, I have like $5. And so when you walk into a store, on the front of the store, you would see, oh, there's chips on sale. There's candy bars on sale. Mm-hmm. Back then they were like 45, 50 cents. Now they're like a dollar, whatever. But I would go to that, gravitate towards that candy bar because it was, I can get like 6 of those, 7 of those would have had in my pocket
yeah.
versus 2 apples that I could mm-hmm. have just purchased. And I'm like, what tastes better as a kid? What tastes better? And right. also, what am I going to get more of? I didn't recognize the nutrition versus the value of nutrition and how something's going to fill me up, make me satisfied, right? So that's a problem I find too, is like we're paying $4 for a bag of salad versus mm-hmm. you go find in the frozen food section a man's meal for like $3 and you get a whole big meal with that. That's yeah. so messed up to me. I have yeah. a problem with that.
Yeah, it is. You got to get creative, but it's possible. It is very yeah. possible. And especially, I mean, I live in Michigan, so we've got like U-Pick stands everywhere. We have produce at our fingertips. So, I mean, we're blessed there, but it's definitely a thing. But yeah, the people that are dealing with the food right now, they're very smart. They're smart and yeah. strategic and yeah. we pay the price. Like, I mean, I can't even imagine the spike, and I haven't looked for a long time. My dad got diagnosed with type 1 diabetes. So a very little different spectrum than what the norm is. But I imagine type 2 is probably astronomical right now mm-hmm. because it's mm-hmm. diet induced. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. And I think, you know, we're out of control.
Well, it's kind of interesting because I know a couple people who have type 2.
Yeah.
And they just pop a metformin. They're like, I'm good. Right. like, but that's not your own, that's not right. going to protect you from the things that you're putting into your body. Right. And I try to stress that, but I think but in general, the medications and things like that, what doctors prescribe, they need to like, let them know along with that, hey, this isn't a magic quick fix for you.
Right.
This is a Band-Aid over the wound.
Well, Justin, you're taking money out of Big Pharma's pocket. And I don't think doctors, I mean, that's their fluff pay. You know what I'm saying? That's their fluff pay. So they're out there. It's a business.
Mm. And we want to stop that. You know,
we do.
And we're voices, you and I, we can be voices of truth to people. Mm-hmm. We can help them identify what you put in your mouth, what you do with your body creates a healthy body, you know, and you don't have to be a victim. I mean, honestly, people who are on medications, mm-hmm. there's of course some reasons to be on certain medications. Mm-hmm. Of course, I understand. I'm not going to sit here and say that doctors haven't helped anybody. I will sit here and say, it's sad that we resort to that first.
Exactly.
Instead of trying to fix the problem mm-hmm. and just put a Band-Aid over that problem, because it's still there. You're still having the issue and it's not going to be fixed with a medication. Just not.
Right. And that's, I mean, that's exactly where it goes. I do a podcast every Monday where I talk about, you know, I'm talking to anxiety and depression and all these things that we can naturally get ourselves through. And I do believe that there is a time and place for doctors and medicine. Yep. I mean, I've had 6 C-sections. I'd be dead if I didn't have a surgeon. Okay. So, and yeah, the pain pill that came with that, please for 2 days. Yes, please. So like there's a time and a place, but it is not the fix. And then I feel like when that fix doesn't get fixed for them, they go and chase their tail for another prescription. And pretty soon you've got 10 prescriptions that you're picking up in the drive-thru of Walgreens, and you're more miserable than ever because you pay the price for that. You pay the price for that. And I promise you, your body will do what it needs to do naturally if you do what you need to do to get it to go there. It's 9 times out of 10, you can heal yourself.
And the truth too with that, think about it. The more medications you do take, more side effects come with that.
Yeah.
And so you really get lost on who you once were, how you felt versus what you are now taking those medications. Mm-hmm. And I know an individual, one of my buddies, he was on several different psych medications. Like I'm talking probably 6, 7. He was out there with some medications.
Oh my gosh.
And he was becoming over medicated. And it just, I kind of look at that and I'm like, why would a doctor do that?
Allow that.
What are you doing? And then eventually kind of just went crazy and then took him off. Like probably, I would say he done like, I think two left, took him off 5 of those. And he's a different person and he feels better. And I'm sitting here, I'm like, man, you are a totally different person, right? You're more calm. You're more, I mean, he's more approachable, things like that. And so that's pretty awesome when you can recognize, because that's a recognition moment. I can't do this anymore.
Yep.
I know what I feel like this. I can't do this anymore. And so, yeah, he's a whole new person today. 2 medications from 7.
That's amazing. It's, I'm happy for him. I don't even know him. And I'm like, you go, dude. Like, yes.
Yeah, that's really good.
Well, Justin, tell me, let's talk about your book and let's talk about your one step. Let's get back into your journey.
Yeah.
You have buried yourself in this prison. I mean, was there a point of no return? Was there a point of like, I don't even know. I can't imagine.
Well, I remember, so I didn't know, just to kind of catch y'all up to speed. From the anxiety and panic attacks and the food addiction, I ballooned up to 799 pounds. And I was only,
I'm sorry, can you say, because people are probably driving right now. So we're going to let them get the wheel back, get on the road. 799 pounds.
Yes. 799 at 16 years old. And so the picture you're seeing over here as the host here, you're seeing that wasn't my biggest. That was me at like maybe 100 pounds lighter than my biggest.
Wow.
But I was 16, 799, sitting in the hospital in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. And then the doctors were kind of just looking at me like, is this, they're kind of concerned, right? I mean, as they should be.
I mean,
they should be.
Yes.
Yeah. And so they looked at me and they said, hey, you know, your body is pretty healthy. Your oxygen levels are pretty low. So they gave me oxygen. I had sleep apnea, but my body in general, I believe God sustained me through that. He had some supernatural divine protection over me at that moment.
Yes.
And I was fine in the midst of everything, but I still had some things to work through. I had a lot of weight to lose because if I continued down this journey, the doctors were sharing with me, there's usually grim outlooks if this is not taken care of.
Mm-hmm.
And especially at such a young age, I mean, at any age, particularly, your body's not designed to go through that big of a weight, right? It's designed to be moving, designed to be outside, designed to be, you know, whatever else, just not being in a prison of that much weight on your body. And so I ended up eventually having to make a difference, had to make a change in my life because what I was doing wasn't working. And I know, Brandon, that you are a faith-filled person and we could talk about that. And it's so important that I do, because the way I was living life wasn't working for me. And I needed someone to intervene on my behalf and step in to rescue me from myself, because I was going down a bad, bad road. And I was tired of going on that road. And I didn't want to die. I was 16. I wanted a girlfriend. Like, I wanted to be able to enjoy life, right? Like, I wanted to get married one day. I even thought about that stuff. And it wasn't going to happen if I kept going my direction I was going. So that's when I had a slight belief in Jesus. But that moment in Pittsburgh in the hospital, knowing how much I weigh after pondering all that stuff, the reality hit me in the face where I had to make that decision and say, listen, I need help. I need you, Lord. I need you in my life. Rescue me from myself. I don't remember the exact prayers I said. I don't remember all that stuff, but offhand, I know that he heard me. I know that he rescued me. Wasn't overnight, but it was this process that he took me through. Number one thing I can say I took away from that is I felt valued for the first time in a long time. And I say that because when you're really large and society looks at that and says, that's ugly. I mean, I'm going to use real terms here, right? That's ugly. That's hideous. That's fat. You're all that
And
stuff.
we
It's
all do
gross.
that. It's a natural response. It's
It
out there.
is. And people look at that and then you feel that about yourself. You take that on because that's what, I mean, I could walk in a room and I know when I was that big, I would look at people and watch them look at me. Like, I knew what they were thinking and I felt so insecure. And so the value went down. My parents, of course, loved me. My brother loved me, right? All that stuff was good.
But they have
But
to. That's not fair.
yeah, it's my parents, right? That's my family. They have to. They better, right? But people would be so judgmental and right. And, like I said, it's human nature. So I don't fault, but I felt that. And so when I was in the hospital, when I recognized that my life needed something different, so I really called on Jesus to save me and help me, then all of a sudden I knew that my life had significance and I mattered, that I wasn't just a blob of fat sitting in a hospital bed. I was a person created in the likeness and image of God. And I have a hope and a future in my life. And this wasn't part of this is not the best that I could be. And so whatever I could understand as a kid at that point, again, I'm paraphrasing as a older
Of
person
course.
now, thinking back of what I was kind of, I would say, thinking. And so, yeah, I felt that, and that motivated me to become a different person. I was motivated out of my value system, and that value system was like that back then. It was like a spark. It was just like, how fire started, just a little bit of a, just the
That's all
right
you need.
elements joined together, that spark. And all of a sudden it starts to flourish and good things, and it starts to grow. And that's what it was like with my journey. It took years to really start to identify the value that I did have in him and who he made me to be. But I can look back and say it started in that moment, and that I ran with to help myself get healthier. And he ran with me with that.
So I want to clarify this because I think this is an important part of our conversation for people that are listening, especially when it comes to our relationship with Jesus and just kind of like embracing who we are. You're a young teen, you're in a hospital bed. Pretty much they're going to say, they're like, you're going to die if you stay on this path. And you had to come to Jesus, talk for real. Like you prayed about this. And it wasn't that anybody outside of yourself or anything outside of yourself lit that spark of value. You saw that within yourself because you opened that tiny sliver for God to work his way in through you to see that value in yourself. So it wasn't an outside source that gave you the value. It's God in you where you learn to value yourself. Is that right?
Yeah, there's always a God. I believe we all have a God spark in us. If we
Yes.
sometimes we just find other things to fill it with, like there's this void in us, all of us. Some people go to alcohol, some people go to gossiping and buying a bunch of items. Some people go to sex, pornography. Some people go to drugs. I mean, you name the source to fill that hole. But the truth is, that void was made for one thing, one person. That's to know the creator of the universe. And until you realize that, you're going to be sorely disappointed every time you find that that drug wasn't enough to get you high anymore. Like, it doesn't work like it. That
Doesn't work.
person you were sleeping with, yeah, might have been a thrill for a moment, but that thrill leaves and all of a sudden that's not good enough anymore, right? Like, I need another fix. I need something different. I know with my relationship with God, it's like, I don't need another fix. I just want more him. I just want more him, right?
And
And I
he
can.
just needed that little sliver. It is literally ask and you shall receive. If you want to see who you really are, if you want to learn to value yourself, if you want to learn to take that one step or that next step, then I think just opening that little door. Yeah. And that's, I'm very intentional about that, man. People are always like, how do you manage, you know, six kids, everything you do, how do you manage? And I'm like, I don't. I wake up and I've got a three-part relationship with God where I'm like, thank you. Thank you for all these things. I need some help with this today. And the rest of this stack, God, that's all yours because I can handle it. So this is yours today. And it is literally just like clockwork. Like, I cannot carry the weight of the world. That was not meant for me to do. Mm-hmm. And I would see my husband carrying the weight of that. And I, all the time, I would never force it on him. When we first met, he didn't even believe in God. Okay. So I would never force that on him, but I would just pray like, man, if he just realized like he could set that all off on someone else.
Yeah.
Right. Cause that's what we want to do anyway. We want someone to save us, but it's really you saving yourself by allowing him in, just open the portal.
Yeah.
You know,
it's a choice we have to make. And not everybody will find that choice or make that decision.
Right.
But I will say that when you do choose to do that and you just open your heart and be open and coachable, I would say coachable, approachable, right?
Mm-hmm.
You certainly can have a difference and you certainly can do life together and have it make sense, even when a world doesn't make sense. Right.
Right.
So I am a huge believer in what he can do. From my value system, I developed a love for health, a mm-hmm. love to get myself healthier, love for my body. Even though I didn't like what I looked like, I felt very insecure. I had a chest of a woman, I felt, right? Those are real thoughts in my head. I couldn't stand for a long period of time. I would jiggle when I walked.
Yeah.
And we're talking about body, like you're looking at your body now and making fun of it. People do this all the time. We're never satisfied most of the time, right?
Right.
So I was just shaming myself, body shaming myself, but as time went on, I started to actually love who I was and love who God was making me to be. So I started really being passionate about what can I eat to make myself a healthier person? What can I do to make my body function better? And over time, I would just grow and grow and grow in knowledge. And eventually I saw in 1 year time, 200-pound loss.
Wow.
And then I had
that's a lot. Year. That's so much in a year. I love that for
in
you.
In 1 year. And I was a big boy, so it came off a little easier, right?
Yeah.
But that second year, I dropped another 200 pounds.
Wow.
So, and you got to think about this too. 400 pounds in 2 years. That is the grind for 2 years.
Yeah.
You're 365 times two, right? You're doing this thing nonstop. Yep. Of course, you have moments of relapse. Of course, you have moments of doubts. But at the same time, you know you have to progress because life or death situation hangs in the balance.
Yeah.
So here I am doing my thing, getting off 400 pounds in 2 years. And then started coming off slowly after that in about a 7 to 8 year period, losing about 600 pounds.
Wow.
Was quite the journey. But that all started with that God spark. And then it started with the hunger to want to change my body and value my body like he sees it. And also we want to be the example to help other people because so many people are lost in the same mindset that I was in.
Mm-hmm.
And I just want to see those people get healthier. I want to see them escape that prison because there is a hope and there is a way out and you can become the best version of you. I truly believe that.
Amen to that. And you know, what's crazy is that I think society just keeps getting worse and worse about this body image. And you've got access to every social media. Like, we have access to too many things. It's an overload. It's not appropriate. And what they deem as like, you know, the standard or the norm, you can't ever compare yourself to that because you're never in the same place as this person. So how did you find yourself, you know, dealing with society's expectations and still fight for that self-love for you to not have that desire to want to be like the social media, you know, expectation.
You know, I won't lie. Like there's always moments where I would compare myself, right? I think that's part of the who we are, right? We walk into a room and there's a jack dude over there and he's bench pressing like 300 pounds. And I'm like,
right.
I won't do that. You know?
Yeah.
There's people you see on TV or magazines that you just want to, okay, maybe I can get the same haircut as them. Maybe I can have the same looks as them and things like that. So that stuff never really escapes you. But when you put things in perspective and say, that's not who I'm supposed to be, because they're running their race. I'm going to run my own race.
Right.
Things change. You have a different outlook. So then you kind of look in the mirror and say, all right, I'm not that person. Society maybe wants me to look like that, right? I got to have the six pack abs. I got to have the shoulder, broad shoulders and chest.
Right.
I got to have a certain way of my hairstyle. I got to have a
Yeah.
certain way of, you know, how I dress and things like that. But there comes a moment where, of course, I think as younger people, we tend to have those more of those thoughts and want to compare, trying to find out who we really are. And so we're
Right.
looking all over from like left to right on where's my identity fit here. But then when you mature a little bit more and you kind of recognize it's not found in becoming this person or that person, it's found in who God made me to be or who I'm supposed to be. And how can I rock who I am and not fall prey to the world, to the culture that screams you're not good enough? Because truthfully, nobody's good enough. We're never going
Nobody.
to be good enough.
Nope.
And so I had to wrestle with those thoughts for a while, but I came to a conclusion. I just want to be the best me. I want to rock who I am.
Yeah.
I want to be the leader, not the follower. I want to look behind me and see people walking with me. I want to look behind me and see people, they're noticing I'm making mistakes, but I'm not perfect. But guess what? I get back up and
Keep
say, all right,
going.
let's go. Let's go. I messed that one up, but guess what? I'm still rolling with this. That's what I want to do. And I think that was several years ago when I finally had that pivotal moment. It wasn't like right away, you know, because I think we still try to, I mean, same thing in the diet culture. Think about it. We see the next phase, like, okay, like for a while, keto was this number one. Everybody's like keto, keto, keto. Then we see carnivore, then we see paleo, then we see these Ozempic, then we see like there's all these different
I
approaches
think
to wellness.
that diet culture is the spark for binge eating.
Yeah.
100%. And I see it. My daughter, we've done 75 hard a couple times. I don't know if you know that.
I've
Okay.
heard of it. I've never done it, but I had buddies who have. Woo!
Yeah,
Wicked.
It's for the devil. But no, it calls for a diet. So that would be one of my like, okay, I'm not going to have sugar. And you know, the minute I tell myself, this is why I will never, ever promote diets. I will never tell people that you should diet because I think diets are very, very toxic. The minute I told myself I couldn't have something, I mean, if I waited the 75 days, you better believe I was binge eating everything I couldn't have. And it's all I ever wanted. So I was eating, you know, I'd eat 12 boxes of crumble cookie in one sitting. I wouldn't care. Like the minute you tell yourself you can't have something, an obsession starts. And I think, especially for people that, you know, are trying to diet to lose the weight, like you set yourself up for failure. You'll have a good day or two, blow it, you know, you'll like, I'll start next Monday. And then all of a sudden, you know, 300 pounds later, there's a lot of Mondays that have come and gone and it's that same cycle. Diets suck.
I had a book called the Monday Mentality at one point, because I was that person.
Yes.
I was like, you know, hey, it's Monday. I'm going to
Right.
rock this thing. Right. And then Tuesday came, Wednesday came, and I finally caved on Wednesday. And I'm like, I'll start again on Monday.
Monday's
It's
coming.
that
Yep.
Fresh Monday start. But people tend to fall victim to that, you know,
yeah.
And it's really a fad thing that, and I just want to share with people now, like, you don't have to follow the crowd. You don't have to do what everybody else is doing. Like, do your research. What was going to work good for your body? I've seen and I've accomplished, I've tried all sorts of different methods of health and
Yeah.
wellness. And I found a sustainable method for me today that works best for me. I know small meals for me are better than big, large meals for me. I
Right.
know that I can do intermittent fasting periodically, but not every day, because when I
Right.
do, I'm going to gorge myself. But I
Exactly.
do think it's healthy and I will do it periodically.
Yeah.
I know how much water I need to drink so I don't feel extra hungry. I know the foods that make me feel better and foods that make me feel lousy. So you kind of just come in tune with what are the foods, what are the things that I can do to better my body, to make me see progress and results? And what are the foods and what are the things I do to my body that made me feel like junk, because I don't want to feel that way. And I think
Right.
once you get to that point, you're not a follower anymore. You're your own doctor, your own
Yep.
physician to your body. You own your own body. You live in this thing. So you know how it operates. You know how it feels when you do particular things.
So I'm telling you, babies, avoid that Ozempic. You don't need the Wegovy. I am not a fan of this stuff. I know that you can do this on your own, and it's a matter of just learning to trust your body. Like my kid's 22. Okay. She had some things going on and I'm like, where do you really feel it in your body? And I'm talking to her about this. Like, I thought it was natural for everybody to really just like feel their body. Like I feel everything. I know if I'm, you know, if I was having an anxiety attack or if I was having a heart attack. Okay. Mm-hmm. Like you feel everything. And it's a matter of just like really getting to the core of who you are. And like Justin said, it's, you've got to be the leader, not the follower. So it's not about trying to get frantic and say, oh my gosh, I saw this girl. She was a size zero. I have to do everything she did. Cause what works for Justin isn't going to work for me. And what works for me isn't going to work for you. You have to come up with your own plan. You know what makes you feel good. Start there. You know, just start there, like celebrate, like, ooh, this feels really good to me today. And just find a couple days where you make choices that make you feel good.
Yeah.
It's just choices.
I agree. And it's just the simple things. You can even start simple, right? Like if you can give up, I think sugar, like we were talking about, sugar is definitely something that is taking us down the wrong road. And so I would start with number one there, your white flours and processed sugars.
Yep.
Get them out of there. Like that's, that's one of the easiest, but hardest things to do. Mm-hmm. But if you can master that, or at least minimize those to maybe once or twice mm-hmm. a week, maybe you don't want to get them all out yet. Maybe that Starbucks drink just looks so good and you can't stop that, but go mm-hmm. a smaller size. Or just have them less frequently. And then eventually mm-hmm. your body's going to be like, okay, I don't need that anymore either. And you get to go down more and more. I think that's those are the two things, white flour, processed sugar, and then increasing your water content instead of the other stuff, right? I think that'll make a big difference. We did a contest one time when I was leading a bunch of people in a group mm-hmm. and it was coming down the water. And all they did was make small step changes. And mm-hmm. one of those was just adding water, more water to their protocol. And what happened was they would drop a few pounds. They noticed that. And reason being, water flushes fat. Secondly, mm-hmm. it replaces the sugary beverages you were eating. And so now you can, or drinking. And now you're like, oh, things start to go down the other direction, which is good. So little things like that go a long way.
Yeah, I agree with that. And I'm a fan of always drinking the water. My family makes fun of me because my water bottle is a bazooka. It's over a gallon and it's one a day. I have to measure my water, honestly, because I drink too much. So I've had to start adding salt and stuff. Yep. Not, it's just, that is my, in purest form, that's all I drink.
Yeah.
I have a nootropic mushroom everyday dose I drink. So I could drink some, you know, I put some other stuff in there, but water. It's all we drink. People come to our house and I'm like, we have water.
Yep. I feel our house is the same way.
I have some milk or water. Yeah. But maybe not even always milk. I don't like milk. So it's whatever, but water's key, man. And I promise you guys, if you really upped your water intake, it changes everything. It changes your mood too. And like, people are always like, Brandon, your skin, I'm telling you, it's the water. Like water is just, that's what we're made of. Mm-hmm. Our body needs to go back to what it is. So
yeah.
I am a fan of water.
And it's worth, honestly, like some people are saying, well, I don't want to be in the bathroom every 5 minutes. And truthfully, what happens over time is your body starts to adapt to the water you're consuming. And eventually you get more, okay, I'm used to this. Like, I don't care. Like, I always find it this way. I get to know where the best restrooms are in my area, right? Like, I know this store has the best. I'm going there. I'm not going here because that's a little shady for me, right?
Oh, man. I love that. I am definitely, it's terrible.
Yeah.
It is terrible. And I don't mind it because, I mean, you're getting some extra steps too, right? If you've got 15,000 steps a day as your goal, then start stepping to the bathroom 100 times, you know, that it helps you stop from staying comfortable on the couch for several hours at a time because it's fine.
That's right. You're flushing fat, you're flushing toxins. Exactly. You always think about that way too. There's a lot of, mm-hmm. so everything you do to your body, everything you choose to do or choose to put in there, remember, there's life or death, what you put in your body. You put life in your body, you're going to reap life. Put death in your body, you're going to reap death. So therefore, when you do things, it's not just about the scale. Again, going back to that number one thing we talked about earlier, it's not just about that scale. It's what you put you choose to put in your body today creates mm-hmm. your tomorrow. And there's always a reason as to why I do, like in the mornings right now, I'm doing prebiotics. So I'm taking, my wife hates it, but I take sauerkraut in the morning, my eggs.
Oh,
and I
please.
Have a whole flat.
I take the fork. Justin, we're the same damn person. I was not 800 pounds. I'm proud of you for doing that. Cause I don't know if I could come back from that. I mean,
it was an adventure and I write about it in my books. I think you mentioned at the beginning, the books, gives you a platform, right? Yep. To speak about your experience, because obviously mm-hmm. we can be here all day with any story we have. Your story, yep. I'm sure, could take a good 24-hour episode, because there's so much to unpack with that.
Right.
And the same with mine. So that's why I put it in books. So my book, One Step, How I Took One Step to Lose 600 Pounds, that's on Amazon. And that is my full story right there. So you get to watch the adventure, you get nice. To read it on as it unfolds. And just I go over everything, you know, the good, the bad, the ugly, the embarrassing moments, the highlights, the risks I've taken,
I
and
love
all that.
That
stuff. Yeah, it's just being real, vulnerable, and transparent, because that's what really builds a relationship. Yep. Right, we want to be trustworthy, we just want to be real people. So there
and
you
that's
have
it, Justin. My thing, this whole podcast and what I'm willing to share with people, is because of my frustration of how many people lie about their experience. And I was, you know, I've been in the weight loss industry. I was with a company for 7 or 8 years, and you've got people having tummy tucks, weight loss surgery. They're doing all these things. I watched it and saying it's this product. And I'm like, no, we're not going to lie about this. We're not going to fall for the sauce. So now I'm very cynical. I don't always believe what I see. I tell people, you cannot make this about them and what they're doing. This is not, you know, you have to make this about you. It's the lies out there. It makes me upset. And even my publishers, when I had my books coming out, they were like, one of their biggest struggles with authors is that they're afraid to share the bad and the ugly. They want to look perfect. So you're already my hero for saying that you shared everything. Good, bad, ugly, embarrassing. I'm excited.
And it gets messy, right? It gets messy. But truthfully, when we're weak, he's strong through us. Yep. And I just want to be relatable. You just want to be relatable. We're real people. We are very real people who put on our clothes the same way you put on your clothes. Mm-hmm. We do everything you do. We just have a story, and just like you have a story. And so let it be told, let it change lives, and let it just grow from there. That's how I see things.
Yeah. I love that. I want to introduce you to my friend, Catherine. She's on an amazing journey. I'm going to send her your book. Actually, I have to make myself a note or I'm going to forget it, but she's done an amazing job. She built a prison, and she's one day at a time just chipping away at it. And I'm like, hell yes, she's amazing. And I think eventually she needs to have a podcast and do the things, but I'm going to have to three-way you guys in a message. So One Step is on Amazon. I love that. And then you also wrote the book Made in His Image. Yes. So what inspired that? This still comes from that journey of self-discovery.
So really body shaming. Yeah. I just took my personal story and just remembered, like, all right, I remember how I hated myself for a while. Remember how I hated what I looked like, and even losing weight and getting stronger. Like, I had some excess skin. I had to have some surgeries completed. You could see scars.
Okay. Scars.
This one I had completed, but this one's starting to do a little bit more sagging after being completed. No matter how much resistance training I do, no matter how much what I do, I still have some excess skin. I had surgeries completed, and they helped a lot, but they're still not, my body's still not the magical looking thing I wanted, right?
Right.
And then I had to have a reality check. Justin, it's okay. You don't find your fulfillment from there anyway. You know, your body, you're going to live in it one day. You're going to die in it one day. Right. Yeah. And you're going to go on, and your body's going to die, but your spirit lives forever. And so why are we trying to put so much energy into looking good and being so vain? Not saying it's not okay to look okay. I'm going to be confident. I'm going to try to look good.
Absolutely.
I'm going to try to do my thing, but truthfully, I'm not going to get consumed by that. So what Made in His Image was about is about body shaming. It's about identifying, who am I as a person, and where do I find my fulfillment? It's about overcoming the shaming of your own body. Mm-hmm. It's about overcoming what others have said about you, because we may have had people in our lives call us fat. You're no good. You're ugly. You're terrible. Mm-hmm. Negative words spoken over our lives. We're going to break that cycle and get out of that so we can walk in freedom. So Made in His Image is about that. It takes my story, but also takes some truth nuggets and puts in there how you can be set free. And it also has some content here where you can actually follow along and journal, and you can answer questions. So it's a workbook as well. And it really put a lot of effort. It took me 2 years to write, because I really put a good amount of thought into it. And truthfully, it's changed a lot of lives. So I would encourage everyone, if you're struggling with what you look like or what you feel like, if you're struggling with accepting yourself or who you are, you can find freedom and peace, because really it's not about what we think about ourselves. It's about what your Heavenly Father thinks about you. And that changed everything. So that's what that book's about.
And even, like I said, man, coming from that place of gratitude, you know what I'm saying? Gratitude of, like, having that extra skin, but knowing that your body, your heart survived under that, dude. Like, you've got to, like, see that sometimes and be like, I love you so much for getting us through that.
Yeah.
Like, your freaking body survived that. That's amazing to me.
It's powerful, right? Like a body.
I mean, imagine, like smashing someone with 700 pounds and having them just walk around with that all day. Like, I think it's incredible. So come from that place of love. And I have to do that with my mom pouch every day. Trust me. I'm like, I love you. Six babies, you know, boobs that touch my knees when I sit down. I'm like, babies, they're fed. That's 12 years of breastfeeding, like 13, 14 years, you know, come from that place of gratitude. Your body is telling a story, right? It keeps the score, right? That's what my kids love that book. It keeps the score. So it's just a matter of like appreciating, okay, it got you this far. Your body's still doing the work. It's a machine, man.
Yes. And we gotta love ourselves. We gotta love our bodies. Yep. We gotta love who we are and rock who we are. And honestly, I found, and I talk about in the book too, is you can rock who you are with confidence. You don't have to be a victim to that. You could say,
yeah,
this is who I am. This is what I am right now. And I'm just gonna own it. And I'm just gonna do that, right? Like rock it out, make it work.
And I love that. I do think there's also a toxic form of rock that out now. I think people celebrating that they're overweight and they're like, I own this. And I'm like, babe, I love you, but your heart doesn't own that. It's not a matter of like how you look or that society thinks fat people are disgusting. It's literally like your health. Like you are, you're killing yourself. You're making your body work twice as hard.
Yeah.
And I mean, you know all too well, like people literally die every day from that weight. So I wouldn't celebrate that.
Right. No, I understand.
Come from a place of love, but let's make changes.
There's that balance, right? Of like, you have to identify, I have to be confident in who I am. But you know, I heard this one quote one time, one of my old pastors, and he said, God is a come as you are God, but not a stay as you are God. Right.
That,
so like, it's profound, right? It's like, come as you are, but as you are, You need some chiseling away.
Yes.
You need to become an even better version of you. Right. I love you where you're at, but I want to take you so much more further than this. Right.
Yes.
And so many people stay in the come as you are, but they don't want to go as don't stay, you know, they don't want to go further. They want to stay who they are, I should say. They don't want to go as the, hey, I want to become someone different.
Right.
And we get trapped in that. But that's 100% so true. We need to be, all right, accept who we are today in a sense of like, this is where I'm at.
I'm not staying here.
What's next?
Yeah.
How do I get better than this?
And this is true for things beyond eating. You know what I'm saying? For anybody listening right now, it is absolutely come as you are today. Like, love who you are today. Just know that tomorrow you get to wake up and co-create with God who you're going to be, you know, and you're not doing it by yourself. Like, he carries the weight. I'm telling you, like, literally.
No pun intended.
He carried it for Justin for a while and he carries it for me. And I guarantee I probably put about 800 pounds worth of shit on his lap every morning. I'm like, thank you so much. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. You know, it's freeing. Otherwise we're just walking around with invisible weight too, you know? So man, come as you are, not as stay as you are. God, I love that so much. That's my new mantra right now. I'm just like, that feels good.
It changes the game. I'll tell
it
you what.
It feels good.
You don't stay where, you know, in the place where you're damaged yourself, where you feel, I mean, cause we have, there's bigger plans for us. There's so much more for us and we have to tap into that.
You're definitely doing his work. I just am thoroughly impressed with you. I'm honored that you came and hung out with us today. What is it like for someone, you know, we'll link everything's linked in this podcast episode, you guys, what is it like for someone to hire you as a food addiction coach? How is that process? What does it look like?
Yeah, we start out very slow. So we talk about, you know, what's the outcome where you're at right now? Where are you at? Right. And are you happy with that? And then from that point, you tell your story. And now we got to find a way out of that because what you're doing isn't working. So we go through steps. It's about a 14 to 16 week journey, depending on who you are. And then we'll take you through those steps each week. We have a weekly call. We can do a Zoom or we can do one face-to-face or on phone. And then we just have discussion every week about how we can overcome these things. I give you a plan, put it together for you, and we can work on it together. And then we come up with how do we overcome this? We do mental exercises and we find a new normal for ourselves. And people have been set free. It's amazing to watch. And then it's honored me that I get to watch these people go from point A to point Z and just be a transformed person. They lose fat, they gain muscle, and they're no longer addicted to food, but they have food freedom, right? So that's what I do when I get people through it. we do it together. It's an amazing, amazing opportunity for them to really change their lives.
I love this. I'm grateful for your journey. I'm grateful for you just opening up to be able to give God that little bit of room. And literally in the Bible, he just says he needs a little bit, like just a little tiny door that you have to open for him so that he can work his magic and help you become, you know, who you're meant to be. So very much in alignment with a lot of things that you talked about today. It's been, I'm so glad that, you know, Josh introduced us. You guys are, it, this was great. Caught me by surprise. And I love like on the whim things. It's always the best off the cuff, on yes. the whim. Just let's do it.
100%.
Always the best.
Yeah. What an awesome. Honor to be here. What an honor to be here.
I appreciate
love
you.
What you're doing some great things too. I love how you're using your voice as a platform to help other people as well. Right. That's all it's, that's yeah. what it's about. That's your heart. So I appreciate you being here,
man. We want people to be step into their potential. And yeah. every time that we wake up and want to help other people do that, we get a little closer to our potential too. Mm-hmm. Like it opens the door. So it's like a full circle thing. And like Justin said, you guys have a story. And everything that you think that you need to hide in shame, everything that you're trying to keep to yourself, all those things that are embarrassing, all of that stuff is your secret sauce. That's the magic, you know, that's the magic of you stepping into that, you know, the power and the potential of who you could be. So make sure you guys check everything out. Get Justin's books on Amazon. And you can check out the links here. I feel like I'm going to have Justin back for another conversation because this was so great. Such an easy flow. So you guys, thank you so much. Make sure you leave a review and share this with your friends and loved ones or enemies if you need to. It's fine with me. So I love you guys. Thank you so much for tuning in. I'll see you tomorrow.